Happy Easter. What a glorious day. And that we get to be together. If we ever took that for granted, I hope last year helped us to appreciate how glorious it is when the body of Christ can be together. Right? Because last year, of course, the resurrection was still celebrated. Of course, we recognized the depth of the Paschal mystery, but our celebration of it was bittersweet because we were all isolated from one another, and today we get to gather. What a glorious thing that is. All of us are here, though, not just because it's allowed and some of the restrictions have been lifted. No, much more profoundly, every single one of us is here because somebody gave us the gift of faith. Right? Primarily, it was God. Faith is a gift from Him, but He used an instrument, somebody who shared the faith with us. Whether it was our parents, our grandparents, our godparents, friends, perhaps a spouse or a brother or a sister, somebody at some time brought us that most glorious news that Christ is risen. And with that news came hope. Hope for eternal life. Hope for this life. In all of its twists and turns, all of its pain and suffering, as well as its joys and victories, that all of it can have a deeper meaning than just a span of decades on this rotating globe. Somebody gave us that precious gift, and we are grateful for it today. In fact, today the faith spreads the same way that it has from that very first Easter night. And it's really quite crazy that God would act the way that He does. Because He could have, in His resurrection, made it abundantly clear to everybody on the earth. He could have, in a blazing sign of glory, lightning striking every corner of the globe, shown Himself to be Lord of heaven and earth. He could have made it so crystal clear to the rulers of this world that He is God. And yet He chose a different path. Instead of making it so obvious that people had really no choice but to believe. Like when we see that 2 + 2 = 4, once we get that, there's no choice in the matter. It's just, oh yeah, that's plain and simple. That's obvious. It doesn't call me to any kind of act of faith. God could have made it that crystal clear. He could have said, nope, I'm going to make this automatic for all of you. You know that I'm Lord. Doesn't cost anything of you. Instead, He spread His good news through personal witness. Instead of appearing to all the rulers of the earth, He appeared to a humble few. And He said, your lives will bear witness. The way that you live is going to be the way that this faith spreads. And it's incredible that in the first centuries, when people saw a Christian, they thought, through this person, I should probably encounter Christ. And so it was in the Acts of the Apostles, which is the book that we're going to be reading through for the next several weeks, all throughout this Easter season. You see that people, when they're curious about Christ, they go to a Christian because they expect that there they will see a reflection of Him. So it is, in fact, in a scene not too far from the one that we got today in Acts of the Apostles. When Peter, who here is preaching this simple but profound gospel of Jesus Christ who suffered for us and was raised. Not long before this, he has this vision of all of these foods that Jews are not supposed to eat according to the Mosaic law. And he sees all of these various foods and a voice from heaven saying, take, slaughter, and eat. He goes, wait, what? No. I can't be eating these things. hear that and we think, that's kind of an odd thing to keep in Scripture. Okay, so now we can eat bacon. I mean, that's great. I'm grateful for it, but what is the deeper meaning? Well, all of the Mosaic laws about dietary restrictions were so that the Jewish people didn't go out and mingle too much with the surrounding cultures. Because when you sit down at a meal with someone, you're sharing life with them. You're sharing values with them. There's something deep to sitting down to a meal together. And during those initial years of that journey, those first actually centuries of that journey of God bringing this people back to himself so that through this people, he can bring the gospel to all, he had to separate them from the other nations. Well, this vision that Peter had was the gospel being opened up to the nations. It was Jesus saying nothing less than, go, eat with them. Go, be with them. Go, be Christ to them. And sure enough, not long after he has this vision, he's called by a pagan, a Roman centurion who also the Lord was speaking to go dine with him. And so he does the unthinkable. He goes to the bitter enemy of the Jews, the Roman centurion, the one that was keeping them under control, and he dines with him. He shares a meal with him. He shares his life with him. And through that, he spreads the gospel. What does that have to do with us? I'm called to do that just as much as Peter was. You are called to do that just as much as Peter was. Because the faith spread in those first days by people eating together, by people spending life together, by people sharing the gospel with the very witness of their lives. When's the last time I had any of my neighbors over for a meal? When's the last time that I had the courage to be unabashedly Catholic? By that I mean not just like having religious symbols everywhere, that's great, but I mean loving in a heroic and Christian way. When have I been able to love someone in a way that makes them pause and think, what's going on with this person? Like, why do they actually care so deeply about me? That's how the faith spread in those first centuries, and that's how it's supposed to spread today. The great symbol and image of this is that candle, that glorious Paschal candle that's lit at the Easter Vigil. And then from it, little lights are lit all throughout the church. And where there was darkness, it is now conquered by light. That's meant to be a symbol of the light of Christ that we receive, and you've received it in a way that I never will. Right? Every single one of us has a unique share in that light of Christ. And it's not meant for us. It's meant to be spread. But of course, turning the lights on in here through electricity is easy. It's just a flip of a switch. Spreading that flame is difficult. Because it requires closeness. It requires that I take something flammable and put it so close to it that it can catch that flame. That's how it is with the flame of the love of God that he has given us. That light of Christ, it spreads through our closeness to others, through our courage to be unabashedly Catholic before them, to love them with Christ's own love. Friends, for the first time in the history of our country, a recent poll just showed over 50% of people report that they never go to church. We used to be a Christian country. We are no longer. In the sense of we are now the minority. But in a certain sense, I think this is the exact wake-up call that we need. Because we can think, when is the last time that I actually brought someone to the love of Jesus Christ? When is the last time that I shared my faith with someone? In that deep way of caring about them, listening to them, and giving them hope in Jesus Christ. Not just some vague, like, oh, it'll be better, it's fine, but actually sharing the source where I get my hope from, Jesus. When have I gotten so close to someone that they could catch my flame and that they could be burning with the love of God themselves? That's our task. That is also our great honor, that we get to be instruments of the Lord in the salvation of the people in our lives. Filled with Easter joy, let's do just that. Let's burn brightly. Let's make it so that we not only experience the love of Christ ourselves, but that through the way that we live our lives, through the way that we love the people in our lives, they too may share in the joy of the risen Lord.